I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Luetta, Jotia, Luetta, Luetta, je te plumerai, je te plumerai, la main, je te plumerai, et la main, et la main.
Now, Alistair, that's Alistair that I'm talking to.
Yes.
There you are.
Hello.
And I'm Andy. I'm the one talking.
Hello.
No, that's going to confuse people.
I was saying hello to Andy.
All right. Well, I think that was a great episode. You've been listening.
Thank you too. In the think tank, the podcast where we come up with five sketch ideas.
Look. I mean, really, it should be, you know, if you or I can just have one good laugh, you know, that's enough.
That's enough for a day.
You know,
just go back to sleep.
I just want to be like one of those bands who were like, you know, we were just doing what we liked. We were just making music that we liked.
Yeah, Andy, if anyone was interpreting this podcast as us pandering to anyone but ourselves, they would be instantly locked up and flown to the most maximum security mental institution.
Flown, because I assume what, it's overseas or something? Is it an island?
It's not even legal to lock up people in the way that they're going to have to lock this person up in this country. It's not legal.
Wow, so it's like an international waters kind of a thing.
They're going to put them in the Cayman Islands somewhere where you hide dark money.
Yes.
And people with dark beliefs such as the Two in the Think Tank podcasts are pandering to the public.
I like this idea, right? Mm. I like the idea of people who are so unfit to be a part of society,
yeah,
right? That like even our normal standards of extraordinary rendition or CIA black sites aren't sufficient, right?
Yeah,
because even a lawless wasteland, it still feels like there are some things that govern human behavior.
Mob mentality,
those kinds of things. Yeah. Those are the base laws that even as you've stripped everything else away, what are you left with? Mob mentality.
Yeah.
And then tiredness, I suppose.
Tiredness, yeah. Sticks and stones.
Yep, those things.
Yeah.
Right? And
the laws of physics.
Laws of physics. Yeah. And I think that, you know, really, if we want to isolate people, get the truth out of them, whatever it is that we're planning to do, it needs to be in some kind of a n-dimensional hyperspace prison, you know, where, because it's bad for, you know, you want a solitary confinement, people who are dangerous.
That's not
enough.
I'm
saying let's put every individual electron in their body in its own potential well, trapped in some kind of separate, you know. Separate each molecule.
Where they can't even work together to do the evil that they would do in a solitary confinement. You know, just mulling. Because that's what they would do, right?
They'd mull.
They would just mull, probably come up with a plan for when they're no longer in solitary confinement. Mm-hmm. Whereas this way, can't even talk to each other. Are we trying to keep them alive despite this? Or are we just...
Oh, I think it would be inhumane otherwise.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're just coming up with an elaborate way to split them up into subatomic particles, put them each in their own chamber.
Yeah.
A chamber where those subatomic particles can't even move freely in a comfortable way.
Even quantum entanglement doesn't occur, because quantum entanglement is a form of collusion.
You know? I would say.
Plotting.
Yeah, absolutely. And okay.
And Alistair, you said mull.
Yeah.
Right? His mulling. It's great if it's wine. Mulled wine.
Absolutely.
Like,
I mean, if that's what they were doing in solitary confinement.
Like steeping in honey and spices.
That's right. Some cloves.
Yeah.
Which actually has a numbing effect, much like a prison.
Cloves?
Have you ever used cloves into like, you can bite down on a clove and it'll
it has a little anesthetic effect.
Anesthetic effect in your mouth.
Yeah, right. Well, I think cloves are probably the worst of the herbs and spices.
Really?
Yeah.
They're even the worst of the herbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're like they're worse than a category they don't even belong
so
to.
So they're definitely a spice, are they? There's no chance that a clove is a herb?
Well, I feel like herbs are pretty leafy. Clove is as close to wood as you can get, right, without being wood. Right?
Yeah, I mean, sure.
I mean, it gives me hope that one day we will be able to eat wood, as we've kind of said that we were hoping to.
One of the long-term goals of the podcast is to sort of prepare society for a time in the future in which we can eat wood.
Just eat wood.
You know, like we've been paid off by big wood.
Huge wood.
Huge wood.
Big lumber.
Yes, timber. And we are just laying the groundwork. We're just seeding those ideas. Mm-hmm. Like those message boards where like the ideas behind Pizzagate were sort of fermented,
yeah.
Right, assembled together mm-hmm. in these sort of deep, dark, alt-right
yep.
web forums. Mm-hmm. People sort of assembling conspiracy theories until like it reached a point where like there was enough critical mass for it to be disseminated into the world.
That's right.
We're that, but for eating wood.
For eating wood, yeah. We're the deep state of eating wood. We're trying to undermine the current paradigm of food consumption.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just another kind of prison. It's just another way in which the society in which we live, if you can call it living, is keeping us down, you know? Eating wood. I mean, imagine how free we would be.
If we could eat wood.
If we could eat wood.
Twigs.
Twigs, anything. It just lies around on the ground. Beavers do it.
Beavers do it. Birds do it. Woodpeckers do it.
Woodpeckers do it. Right?
Right, yeah.
And yet we're somehow told that we can't.
And when we say it, we mean eat wood.
Eat wood. Every time on this podcast that we've said the word it, we meant eat wood.
It's always meant eat wood.
You go back, you listen through from the beginning.
Mm.
And every time we say it, eat wood.
Yeah. I know I've just written down the word eat wood conspiracy, and I know it's a topic that has come back up, although it's a very recent topic.
I think there's
a
reason it keeps coming back up, Alistair.
It's because it's important and it's real and it's, and we're introducing it slowly.
Mm. It's like the number 23.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's something going on.
There's a Jim Carrey movie in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey in Eat Wood, right?
It sounds right.
He goes into a teleportation machine, right? Much mm-hmm. like The Fly.
Yeah.
But unbeknownst to him, there's also a beaver in there.
There's a twig in there.
There's a okay, twig in there.
He's a cannibal, right?
Yes.
He's a cannibal who is just going into a teleportation machine, right?
He's just going into a teleportation machine. That's all it is.
Right?
No big deal.
No, he's a cannibal inventor, okay?
Yes,
he's a cannibal inventor who's developing a teleportation machine.
Could this sentence be any more true in the think tank?
It doesn't matter. He's a cannibal inventor.
Be said that, like, we're not pandering to a broad audience, but to the narrow audience who loves this podcast,
yeah.
No sentence has been more, like, tailored to their interests.
Absolutely. Andy, you're uncovering another conspiracy, which is the conspiracy, which we've spent a long time denying. I mean, we spent a long time justifying that these people are not only going into solitary confinement, but subatomic solitary confinement. Anyway, so a cannibal inventor goes into his teleportation machine that he's testing out, which yes. until recently, right, he was just trying to teleport kindling just to see whether he could get some organic matter through.
Yeah.
Right?
Kindling.
Kindling, right? So he teleports, doesn't realize There's a twig there.
He's left a twig.
There's a twig, right? So he teleports. His DNA fuses with the DNA of the plant of that wooded oak.
Yes.
The mighty oak tree.
Twig.
Mighty oak twig, right? He comes out. He feels fine. He doesn't realize something has happened yet.
Yeah.
Until slowly but surely, right? He's got a stiffness about it. But he had gone for a run the day before.
Hadn't stretched.
It's not that crazy that he would be, you know.
Even for him, a scientist. A man who's meant to notice unusual things and draw connections.
Mm-hmm.
In this context, no alarm bells are ringing. He certainly doesn't think there's a paper in it at this stage.
No.
But little does he know, there's some paper in him, in a manner of speaking, because paper is also made out of wood.
Slowly but surely, he starts to show signs of woodiness.
Yes.
Right?
His acting, not as good as it was before. His voice, a little more timbre, if you know what I'm saying.
A sort of a thick outer crust starts to build on the outside of his legs and arms, right?
Mm-hmm.
Squirrels.
Flocking to open holes on his body.
Yes, and bury the acorns that have fallen off of his fingers. Right?
And slowly he starts to put these clues together.
Okay.
He's no fool.
Anyway,
the stiffness, no alarm bells.
While this is happening, he gets a rumbly in his tumbly, right? He gets a little hungry. The man is a cannibal, all right? He no longer just eats man because he's no longer just a man. He's a cannibal. He's not into just eating human flesh.
Yes.
He's into eating whatever he is. Right, so because he's changed, he can only eat man oak hybrids. Therefore, and the only version of that exists
is him.
Is him.
Now, imagine what this man's going through.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he's just an ordinary cannibal, and suddenly he wants to eat
cannibal inventor.
He's just an ordinary cannibal inventor. Suddenly he wants to eat wood.
Yeah,
he must be like, what is happening to me? Like that.
Oh, sorry, I had something in my throat.
What's happening to me?
Excuse me. That was a very weird moment.
He starts crying during the song From Little Things, Big Things Grow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that about trees at all?
It sounds like it's about trees. It's definitely a metaphor about trees.
It's already a very emotional song. Again, this one probably doesn't raise alarm bells.
Yeah.
Because anyone could cry during that song.
Mm.
It's quite powerful. But the tears that come out, red, thick sap,
which bugs
come and get trapped in, and then over millions of years form amber, and their DNA can be extracted.
Extracted to make dinosaurs.
To make dinosaurs.
Or humans. Or human wood hybrids.
Oh my god.
And he was yelling so far from the mic and it was still crackling.
I'm having such a fun time with this riff.
Cut to.
This has got everything I like in it.
It's
achievable. It's relatable.
No, but what it is, Andy, is we're creating now. This is 25 million years from now. It's a movie set 25 million years from now. Where they're trying to, it's whatever the dominant species is at the time,
yes,
is trying to bring back humans, right? They find the sap, they find this mosquito inside the sap on this tree, right? Little do they know, it's a man tree, right? And what they're bringing back is this cannibal inventor's DNA and all their humans that they're populating their island amusement park with.
Yeah, cannibal inventors.
At first, they're just walking around, but then they start to disappear. Where did they go?
They're right? all eating each other.
No. Well, I mean, maybe. That could be some explain some of it. The other explanation, though...
But that only explains some of it. They do the maths.
They do the maths.
They work out the calculations. Even if these were all cannibal inventors, that would only account for some of the disappearances.
Yes. What about
There's an X factor.
Yeah. What about the last? Why is the last one in every cage disappearing as well? They can't possibly be eating themselves. No, they're turning into complete trees with a man stuck inside forever.
And the trees... The last one in each cage is disappearing. The cages are full of trees.
Well, you know, they're not. They weren't. You know, what's that thing where you know the government sends out a document and we all have to like fill out the document to tell them who we are.
The census.
They're not doing a tree census in there.
No, they're not.
Like they didn't even think about keeping track of the trees. They just got a landscaper in.
They might even be blind to trees.
They have. All of the people who work in this place have tree blindness.
They're not people, though.
Oh, that's right. I know, but they consider themselves people.
Oh, sure,
they don't
consider
us people.
No.
You know, they're the people version of whatever they are. People is not human specific.
All right. So, write that down. And I have two ideas. Okay, Alistair? So you're ready for this?
Okay.
I mean, there's no way you could be. You've got to write down approximately 16 pages of garbage. But I'll carry on, right? Number one, all right? Solitary confinement. Mm-hmm. Isn't it interesting, right, that the majority of human beings, we are kept in check by society. Mm. It's the presence of society and the social contract that stops us from contravening those norms, those mores, and doing... bad things, right? But if somebody does some bad stuff, we put them in solitary confinement where they're as far away from society as possible and there's nothing to, like, constrain them.
Yeah.
Right? Really, I don't think we should have solitary confinement. I think we should have, like, the opposite. We should have hyper-social freedom, right? Where you are, like, so intensely surrounded by society to like so that you can't do anything wrong.
Right.
Instead of solitary confinement, we put you in charge of a creche, a children's play center.
Wow.
Right? Where you're, you know, on the front line
no
of
matter
human
what your crime was that you committed?
No matter the crime.
but does society control you by having you in charge of people that are much weaker than you?
I mean, it's a theory.
I think that's one theory.
I feel like a kid who's acting out.
Yeah.
You might find really they just need some responsibility. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
To feel in charge, in control. So you've got a violent criminal, an antisocial lunatic.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's just they don't feel like they have any responsibility. Put them in charge of a children's play center.
It's crazy enough. It's crazy enough to maybe work or go really wrong.
Okay. Well, maybe it's not intense enough. We cover them.
Yeah.
We strap
the kids
to their bodies.
Okay. So they're covered in like a dress made of children.
Yeah, a layer of the most vulnerable in society. And I feel that responsibility will be the demonstration of faith in them that they needed. Say, look, we trust you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm.
Sure, you've done some bad things, but we're giving you a second chance. More than that, right, we're putting you in a situation whereby every action that you take could cost several lives.
Yeah, right.
Right? You're a violent lunatic. Here's the nuclear launch button. Just to prove that's what they do this is what they do in Denmark.
This is how they would do it. Yeah. Here's all the launch buttons for all the nuclear arsenals in the world.
Here's the one remaining vial of smallpox. The smallpox disease.
Yeah, right.
And also the main air conditioning intake for the
world building?
The world building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, I think there's something in this.
Yeah? Great.
Well, I think initially what I was captured by was just that how walls can do the job of a society, you know, by just keeping you in out of trouble.
Yep.
You know, because sometimes – but then sometimes where society fails, walls really can succeed.
Totally.
You know, they can stop you from hurting other people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then I thought, well, when you said, oh, well, what about we go the other way? And then I thought, well, what if the cage was made of people?
That's really good.
Mm.
Yeah.
So then you're still kind of contained.
Yes.
You know? But then, you know, I just – I couldn't 100% see how, you know, being strapped – having children strapped to you was necessarily straight away change you. I guess it depends. I guess – do you think there's an element in which – you just wouldn't want to have dead bodies attached to your body?
I think that's one of the things that we all agree on.
Mm. You know?
That probably unites us more than anything.
Yeah, because I guess it's...
Dead weight.
Dead
Nobody
weight.
Nobody likes a dead weight.
That's true. Actual dead weight.
Yeah. Stench of death. Nobody likes that.
No, they don't like stench of death. Do you think even more vulnerable than children...
Yes.
...is... really ripe tomatoes? They're so vulnerable.
So vulnerable. Yeah, that's. I mean...
But you don't mind having those covered all over your body because
eventually
they'll
just
wipe
away. Well, I mean,
that's
what that Spanish festival's all about, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
The fact
taking,
that people don't
taking
really...
advantage of the vulnerable.
I mean, what is more vulnerable still than that? I mean, I guess the Bitcoin market.
Seems very vulnerable at this stage.
Yeah, certain types of like silk, you know, silk clothing. That's
especially
sort of
an individual silk thread. But how can we help these criminals? Do you think that these criminals? Do you think like that is a sketch? I think that it probably is a sketch, isn't it? I didn't get 100% on board, which is why I don't feel like it was. The more I think about it, if I really intellectualize it, I'm enjoying it.
Oh, great. Well, you intellectualize the fuck out of it, Alistair. Right. As much as you need to intellectualize it to
write
it down. I know we've talked about the way they do things in Denmark on the podcast in the past, and I'm not sure if this is like the angle that we went down. It's very possible that I'm just repeating word for word, including this and this and this. Exactly what we said on the previous podcast where we talked about the way they do things in Scandinavia, you know. Mm. The other thing that I was thinking, Alistair, was a Jurassic Park sort of parody thing. And I've got no idea about like how or in what way this could be funny. But I just am interested in how could we re-engineer a Jurassic Park comedy sketch world, but that there's people in the cages, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who are the people who are in there? Are they all Richard Attenborough? Are they all
David Attenborough?
David Attenborough. Mm. Are they all fans of the original Jurassic Park?
Michael Crichton.
Are they all Michael Crichton? I am interested in the people outside who've made the park. They're all people.
Yeah.
They're all humans, right? Mm-hmm. But we have then inside the cages people as well who've been recreated from DNA, got out of a thing, right? But then I just want us to have exactly the same conversations and debates around it all that we would have about the dinosaurs.
Mm.
But about the people, right? So the discussion of, well, actually they were covered in feathers or they weren't nearly as big as they are. Even though these people are just walking around wearing clothes, having conversations and stuff, they're in the cage and we talk about them like we would about – do you understand what I'm saying?
So we're just saying dinosaur things at people.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we're giving it an edge. It's a funny edge.
Yeah, like a funny edge. Yeah. Look, did I just stop understanding things? Like, do you think?
No. Did I start explaining things like I'm a fuckhead?
No. But I mean like so suddenly I just haven't been getting 100% on board with things and I apologize.
Well, no, it could all be because, Alistair, you are writing something down And also the thing that you were writing down was one of the most insane ideas that we've ever discussed on the show. And it's either it broke your brain or you were just distracted when I started talking about these things. And then, you know, or I'm talking shit.
Well, it kind of also just started making me think about other like just the idea of kind of going to see people in cages. Like why? Because, you know, like you go to the zoo, you see gorillas or something like that. And they're just kind of not doing much like that. And I guess in the same way, it's like you just go see. It's like watching Big Brother, essentially, you know, and then there's just people there. But I guess it just made me think about a Big Brother Live, you know. So it's essentially
just like a stage show.
Just it's I guess
like so. They tour, they take, you know, like so when something weird tours as a stage show, like Top Gear, when they did a stage show, you're like, what the fuck are they doing?
Like, what could they possibly be doing?
Are
on
they
stage?
Just revving the engines?
Yeah,
the
or Jackass.
Jackass.
Like I realize, you know, they end up throwing darts at each other's chests or whatever they do.
Did they actually do a stage show, Jackass? Probably, right?
I'm pretty sure I remember the Dudesons touring to Australia.
Antoine Dudeson? What are we talking about? Andy Dudeson from Anyone for Tennis.
Look, again, I'm not sure if Duty. His name was Andrew. I'm not sure. I can't remember now. I think it could have been Andrew. I'm not sure if I think you're the one who goes by Andy.
Oh, that's true.
And you guys look the same.
I'm confused.
If anybody remembers Anyone for Tennis, just Google them. YouTube them.
Great comedy duo.
Yeah. Musical comedy.
Yes.
They wore headbands.
Yep.
They played guitars. Sweatbands.
They were great.
Yeah. I can't remember their songs right now.
Whenever I try, I can only ever remember Jason English's solo songs from after.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Anyway, that's feels like a distraction.
It is, Andy. But like, okay, but is it? It just feels like it's like a performance art piece where you go to, just like a place where people are just living their lives inside a thing, but you can sit a bang on the windows and go, do something. Like that. Like, I guess you're kind of going and you're hoping to watch these people hump or something like that.
Yeah. I think a Big Brother Live stage show is valid.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm just sort of putting the mic closer to
you. You just can't just leave me alone. You move the microphone to be in front of my mouth. It's like I'm a child.
Yeah, no. I know, but
like
you're
trying, you're always trying to. You're the society that's always just trying to nudge me and push me. Yeah. You don't understand that I'm a rebel, Alistair.
Andy, if I could,
and you're not just going to let me be me.
If I could replace me with a series of walls that just held your head in place near the microphone, I would do that.
Yeah,
but I feel like I would have to get you to build those walls because I'm not that handy, and then I just feel like you wouldn't do it.
This podcast is so fucked.
This whole
episode is fucked.
No.
It's fucked.
Why?
I'm just liking saying fucked. Look, I don't know. I don't know, Alistair. I just feel like something is broken in my mind.
No. No.
What were we talking about? The Big Brother Live stage show.
Yeah.
I want that to be a thing. How can we make that a thing?
What
does it need?
Okay. Well, the thing is that it could just be you show up and then people just get on stage and start living their lives.
Yeah, okay.
They get into a hot tub.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they get fed drinks.
Just like life.
It's just life, but on stage.
I feel like when they do these stage shows of things like Top Gear or whatever it is, it's like they're going to have some scripted banter. They're probably going to have some fireworks or something because you just need to add some kind of stuff to like make it a stage show, like take it to the next level.
Yeah.
Like, you know, somebody goes and flies around on one of those big swing things.
So you're saying that this Big Brother one has to have
I feel like they've injected something into it to make it, you know, pop for the stage.
Well,
I don't know what that
is. Well, I know, but I understand that that's what you would do if you were trying to make it good.
Right.
Right.
Or at least tolerable.
Yeah, at least tolerable. But if people were like, what if instead of like in a Big Brother house, people were kept in a Big Brother, like, what's that, one of those, a shipping container.
Yeah.
Okay. Right? And then a truck comes and drops it off on the stage. and then it pulls off one of the walls, and you just see them where they're at this time.
Yeah, it's almost like an ant farm.
Yeah.
Could
it be filled with sand?
Yeah, sure. So what, they're just slowly being crushed and suffocating in there?
Do you think that if we had like just a tall, like essentially like a skyscraper filled with sand?
Yes.
That humans could build a sort of series of tunnels like the ants do and just live in there?
I don't think so.
Why?
I think, well, okay, I'll tell you exactly why, yeah. Alistair. I think that there is a particle size that you get with sand,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think that for a small enough tunnel
mm-hmm.
that you are probably able to build something that is structurally sound
mm-hmm.
with that fits with the particle size of sand,
yeah.
right? But I think once you try and build that tunnel to be bigger than like about 3 centimeters diameter,
yeah.
I think that thing is going to collapse. The particle size is too small, and that's we're talking collapse town.
All right, right? What about like...
And so once you're trying to build tunnels for a human man,
yeah.
that's coming down.
Sure, I guess especially if you're living at the bottom.
Yeah, I don't think it matters. I think any part of that is going to collapse. You know?
Yeah, I know, but imagine living in that. That would be pretty cool though, right?
Yeah, crawling around but in tunnels.
You don't think the secret isn't just
I
like...
I love it. We all love it.
No, but the secret isn't just like putting saliva on the wall or something like that?
I mean, it could be.
You know, because I feel like maybe ants, that's what they're doing. You know, they just
I love how you just poked your tongue out just a little bit then to just like help you to conceptualize licking the wall of the tunnel.
Of the sand.
The sand yeah. tunnel. But, I mean, you know how unpleasant it is when you get sand in your mouth, right? I reckon that is.
I like it.
No, you don't, Al. No,
that's something I like.
No, you don't. You're just saying that because you think it's contrarian.
No, okay. I genuinely like it.
I think this
like
is
it.
A great thing for like a teen rebellion, right? It's like, no, I like having sand in
I
my
like
mouth.
I like having sand. Don't put sand in your
old,
mouth.
You know who doesn't like having sand in their mouth? Old people.
Old squares.
Old squares. I love having sand in my mouth. Bite down and I like that grittiness.
It's a news story. It's like... The new teenage trend that's worrying parents.
Yeah.
Oh, but doesn't it feel gritty? I mean, I just don't think kids should be doing that.
Who says gritty is bad?
Yeah. I like gritty. Did you see the
Dark Knight Rises?
That was good. Why wouldn't it be good with things in your mouth?
It's okay, so it's fine for rebirthing franchises. And like, and it's bad for your dental health. But like, kids love doing stuff that's bad for your
Absolutely.
For your health. Drinking too much, smoking marijuana.
Yeah, but they're like actually, you know, it's a great way of exfoliating your teeth.
Yeah, no one ever talks about that, yeah. do they?
And your gums.
Sure, I don't have any enamel. You know what? I also don't have plaque.
Yeah, or flakes of skin just hanging out. I probably have plaque's a good answer there.
Thanks.
I was too busy starting to say what I was going to say.
Well, your dumb example.
Yeah, I know, but dumb is okay.
Flakes of skin?
Well, that's what they have on your arms. So it's much like, see, that was my version of your Jurassic Park, but with people. You see?
Sure.
So, but instead of Jurassic Park, I had
Jurassic Park.
A teenager's mouth. I had a teenager's mouth. And instead of people, instead of dinosaurs... Oh, no, wait. The dinosaurs...
Oh.
The dinosaurs were your arms. And the people were the teeth. And then the people visiting the park was the sand.
Then what's the park?
Hey?
What's the park?
The mouth.
The arms are in the mouth?
Yeah. Because that's what I'm saying is that the arms...
Are the teeth?
No. Well, the... No, that's or where you normally would use exfoliant. You see?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Alistair, when you're right, you're right. And you're right. You're 100% right.
All right. Look, can we just write down
oh.
the trend, the gritty trend
yeah,
of teenagers?
Yeah, we absolutely can. That's a thing, right? Like, what else is there for kids to do? How else can you rebel against? Everything's been done. You know,
Oh, I remember when there was like a trend, or at least the news was saying there was a trend of like
eating
teenagers.
Tide Pods.
Oh, well, there's that. And then they were licking each other's eyeballs.
What? That was a trend?
Maybe in Japan.
Or... like as a sex thing or just like a way to say hello?
It was like, I think it was somewhere
between. That's how they say hello in the mafia.
It was somewhere between a hello and a sex thing, I think. I think it wasn't 100% sex. You know, you could still do that and get into heaven.
Mm, right? Sure, sure, sure.
But it wasn't entirely non-sexual because it's people.
The Bible doesn't mention it.
The Bible doesn't mention it. I did see a thing yesterday where somebody referred to a part of the Bible. It was Matthew 18:9 or 9:18, something like that, where he basically says, if your eyes are causing you to sin,
pull out your eyes.
Then gouge it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then, which is kind of like that stuff about, you know, like if you're like rather than kind of people being like, oh, these women got to put on some clothes. This is Jesus saying, hey, if you think that that lady needs to put on some clothes, why don't you just pull out your eyes, you big dickhead?
I think that's, I mean, I assume he's exaggerating, but like what a great.
Mm. Anyway, I'm very rarely
like
on Jesus'
side. Like strong position.
That's a strong position.
You're very rarely on Jesus' side. Hey, you know me.
I mean.
I don't dig on this Jesus guy.
Well, it's like.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You know, it's like, look, I don't use any, Steve Jobs probably said a lot of good things, but I think after it's his empire now that I see as a reflection of him, and so I kind of see negatively on him because of his Apple empire.
Mm-hmm.
For most people, this wouldn't be a valid analogy. Anyway, trend of teenagers. Putting sand in their mouth.
Putting sand in their mouths or you know, in their eyes or whatever it is.
I like it.
And they just hang out down at the skate park or something, putting sand in their mouths.
Yeah.
And parents just, you know, it's like Will Smith said, parents just don't understand.
What about like they just hang out in church putting sand in their eyes and mouths?
Yeah.
They go, because at first, like, parents would be like, well, I mean, I'm glad that they're going to church, or, but that's not what church is for.
Always in their, you know, in the pews, squatting in the pews, rubbing sand in their mouth and eyes. But it'd be one of those things, it's like smoking. It's not fun the first couple of times, but you look cool, and that's what gets you in, and then after a while, you're addicted.
You just got this little, like, baggie, like a little Ziploc bag filled with sand, and you kind of open it up, and you just dip your eye in it.
Yeah.
And then you also grab a little sprinkle, and you put a sprinkle in your mouth. And then there's all these teenagers making, like, YouTube videos of, like, all these, like, sand-in-mouth tricks.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, teenagers get
vaping,
unbelievably...
Smoke rings.
They get unbelievably good at things very quickly, and suddenly they're, like, there's, like... sand in the mouth competitions on huge stages, you know, all around the world. And it's just this competition, you know, like
people
stacking
streaming
cups.
There's mouth sand stuff on Twitch.
Yeah.
Getting thousands of dollars a month on Patreon.
People are spitting sculptures out. Like,
yeah.
Just like
whole sculptures.
Like they're making their whole neck and head a 3D printer using mouth sand.
And, you know, the police will pull over a kid. Frisk him, a little bag of sand in the pocket. What's this here? Huh?
Yeah, do a trick for us.
Yeah.
Is it illegal to have sand in that version?
I don't know. Yeah?
No. Sand is banned.
There you go.
We're going to have to ban sand. What are you going to do, ban sand? What's next, dirt?
Hey, if that's what we got to do to protect the kids, you know? And there'll be all these hippies who are like, you know, sand can actually be, has a lot of useful properties as well. Like
no,
you can
no.
melt it down to make glass.
Yeah.
And everyone will be like, yeah, right. whatever. You just want to put that straight in your eyeball.
You know how, the ocean is filled with plastic now?
Yes.
Yeah, and it seems like it's getting really out of control.
Really out of control, and like, if it's out of control, like now, like it feels like one of those things that's just like an exponential problem, that by like next year, everything in the ocean will be dead.
Yeah, it feels like it's getting pretty
bad. It's so bad, right. And it's so depressing.
And remember how it used to be glass that we would use for like all the, instead of plastic bottles, we would just use glass bottles.
Mm.
And it's amazing how glass, it's still wound up in the ocean sometimes, which, by the way, I have no idea how so much garbage is ending up in the ocean.
It's just blowing there.
Just blowing.
It's those plastic bags. They just blow.
No. There's no way that that's all just blowing. I think that there's like, there have to be places in the world that are dumping things into waterways, and the waterways are just flowing into the oceans. Surely.
Oh, okay. So my theory that it was going there in the wind, there's no way.
No.
But your theory that things are going there in the water, yes.
No, but my thing is not, like, my thing involves countries dumping things into waterways and then it flows out into the oceans. Yours, I imagine, involves just discarding things on the ground and then it blows out. I do accept that some stuff gets in there that
way. Like 2 or 3 pieces a year.
I just don't think that's the main way things are getting there.
You're saying the waterway.
I'm saying the waterway.
I'm talking skyway.
Is there a way that our dumps...
I wonder if also, you know how there's this huge international trade in garbage, like recyclables and that sort of thing. So we're shipping off recyclables to China to be recycled.
And then they're just dumping it at sea.
I mean, I don't know which way the money's flowing. I don't know if they're buying the recyclables off us or if we're paying them to take them away.
Yeah.
But if we're paying them to take them away,
you
know where the money is. You just drive out into the ocean. You just dump it all and then you come back and get another load.
That's true.
We're just, you know, sweeping stuff under the carpet, but it's not a carpet.
It's a waterway.
It's a water. It's a big wet waterway. Big wet wobbly waterway.
What I was going to say was just that glass, when we were using that, it would wind up in the ocean still, but then it would just show up on the beach, and it will have all the broken glass would have been just sort of worn down. You know, all the sharp edges were worn down and just kind of made nice rocks. And it just went really well
with
the beach.
Yeah.
You got to go back to glass.
Sometimes I'd even collect those bits. I'd be like, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that with a
bit of plastic.
Bit of Glad wrap. Oh, there's a little bit of plastic bag there. That's cool. I like the way that's sort of been tattered.
It's all because of shipping. It's all because of shipping. We didn't want to ship things because glass was too heavy to ship.
Yeah.
I think we got to go back to glass.
And now we're also drinking stuff and probably chemicals from the plastic. Not that I actually am really all that worried about chemicals from plastic.
Oh, well. Is there a sketch in this?
There's a sketch of the things to come. You know, there's a rough outline
Absolutely.
Of the nightmare hellscape that we've made for ourselves in the future.
It's going to be a really interesting 10 years. I mean, there's got to be like something that's got to be done in the next 4 or 5 years.
There's got to be something that's got to be done, but like, doesn't it just feel like the politics has like also reached this crescendo of like insanity and more people who are like diametrically opposed to doing anything are in power?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, this is a really great time to have people totally lose faith in politics, people who actively hate government to be in power, and experts and scientists to be disrespected and, in fact, treated as the enemy. This is a great time for all of that stuff to be happening.
Oh, you know what we should do? We should just start paying off people right now to stop being fishermen.
Yes. Right?
And that way we can stop caring about the oceans. See? So all the money that we would spend on trying to fix the ocean, we just spend it on fishermen retraining them to do something else with their life.
Yep.
Right? So then we're future-proofing ourselves.
Because we don't need to worry about the oceans anymore.
Because or else these people are going to be like, in 20 years, we're going to be like, oh, why didn't we do anything about the ocean?
And this way, we'll be like, We paid you to not worry about it anymore.
We paid you to stop going into the ocean and making your life that way. Right? So now you're doing something else, so don't worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense to me. Maybe if there's like a 5-cent tax on plastic bags or something, and then that money goes to fishermen to not worry about the ocean anymore.
Just stop going to the ocean.
And also swimmers. Because people who like to swim in the ocean,
yeah,
they're already a bit weird.
Mm. Right? Yeah, like me.
Like you, yeah. Alistair, a bit weird.
Yeah. Every time you try to go to the ocean for a swim, we just give you $2.
$2 instead.
That's
it. Go buy yourself an ice cream.
Yeah.
And that plastic wrapper, don't you worry about what happens to that.
Like, or maybe like $1.30 or something like
right.
that. Right. So it's like $1.30. So it's like
free ice cream.
It's like a free ice cream.
And maybe like, a little 10 cents or something for daddy.
You could get a red frog or something like that.
Right.
Right. But that way, it's like, it's not really enough to keep going back down to the beach to try to make money.
Mm.
But it's enough that if you went down to the beach not knowing that you're not allowed to swim anymore in the ocean, it'd be like, oh, well, at least I got $1.30.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a universal micro bribery, right? Because at the moment, I feel like big corporations, if they want to, introduce systematic neglect of an aspect of the environment.
Yeah.
They've got to pay off counselors.
Yeah.
They've got to get, some sway over politicians. They've got to make these big donations. But I want to disrupt all of that. I'm going to introduce an app or something like that so that that bribery can go directly to the people. Why does my representative get to be paid off to ignore the condition of the Great Barrier Reef when I should be the one? It's my Great Barrier Reef. So, hey... Adani?
Yep.
$50 a year.
To us.
To us. To, each of us.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna look the other way.
Yeah.
We'll all be on board.
We'll all look the other way. No, everyone will face away from the ocean.
Yeah, we will literally look the other way.
What if they just put a really bright light?
That's good.
Just at the ocean.
Yeah.
And then everybody would actually just be forced to look away.
Look away.
Yeah.
I think that's bribing everyone is a good idea. Right? Like, maybe even a politician comes forward and says, look, I've been offered this much by these guys to get this through Parliament. And I thought, that's wrong. That's not fair.
No.
But what I am going to do is I'm going to share that with all of you.
Yeah. That would be nice.
So don't worry. We're all going to get something out of this.
That'd be nice.
So vote for me, and I'd be like, all right.
I get the Koch brothers. Come on, and let's be fair. They're the Koch brothers.
Koch? Koch.
Koch.
Kaik.
Koch brothers?
Koch?
K-O-C-H-E? It's just bringing socialism to bribery.
Yes. Socialize corruption. Hmm. And this is really trickle down.
It's like it's for the greater amount of people. Was that thing that greater good for the greatest amount of people?
Yeah, for the greatest number.
Well, it's like the greatest evil, but for the greatest amount of people.
Yeah, and to get something pretty good as well
on the side.
Yeah, then. Ice cream and a red frog.
All right, we got three words.
Got some words from a listener.
To come up with a sketch idea. Some of these are pretty not 100% close to sketch ideas today. I mean, obviously, we've got the cannibal inventor teleport thing, so that's...
That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Today's,
I think we might film that this afternoon.
Yeah, so today's three words come from Jonathan Dooley, a listener of the podcast. Hello, Jonathan.
John Dooley.
Yeah.
What do you think of that song, Tom Dooley, John Dooley? Do you ever think I could change one word of this and be about me?
Yeah. Jonathan Dooley.
That's right.
Okay, so now he gave us three words. First one is kind of more of a name.
Yes.
And the last one, I'm going to, anyway, you'll see. I might have to pronounce it wrong to maybe make it what the all three are going to do. Okay, so here we go. We got the first word is auto.
Yes.
The second word is motto.
Otto motto.
Yeah. And then the third word is P.
P-E-A. Otto, onomatopoeia.
But it kind of looks like onomatopoeia.
Which is actually onomatopoeia.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, it looks like automatopoeia.
Well, otto, obviously Italian for eight. Motto,
isn't
obviously.
Isn't that ocho?
No, definitely not.
Really? It's otto.
Well, I don't know if you've seen the movie A Fish Called Wanda.
No.
But Kevin Kline, really? You've not seen it?
Oh, I've seen a bit. It was on TV once.
Yeah, right.
Seems all right.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's really, really good.
It's like quite late Monty Python kind of stuff, right?
No, it's John Cleese, post-Monty Python. Mm. Real late
Monty Python.
Oh, yeah, real late. No, yeah. You're right.
But
real
I mean, late. It's like the closest thing to Monty Python they kind of really
it's
did.
It's nothing like Monty Python.
Feels Monty Python.
Doesn't seem.
John Cleese is in it. And then the other one.
Michael Palin.
Is there a third Monty Python guy?
No, I don't think so. Anyway, Kevin Kline plays Otto.
Yeah.
Right? At one point, he says, I am Italian. My name is Otto. It means eight. Now,
yeah, right.
He might have been wrong.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
But, I mean, that's where I get my facts from.
That's fine, yeah. Okay, yeah. I'm convinced. That must mean eight.
Motto.
Yeah.
It's like a saying.
A thing that you say.
Yeah.
About a thing. Like, that's my crab. That's my motto. That's my crab.
Doesn't work as a motto.
No?
No. I mean, well, a motto has to have some kind of a meaning.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess if you knew the backstory. okay. Crabs are no good to have.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually.
That's a motto?
Yeah. That's a motto. Yeah.
My motto is crabs are no good to have.
Like, is that a sex STD kind of a thing?
I mean, it could be a...
Crabs don't really feel like an STD, do they? Because they're not really in you. They're just on you.
Yeah, it's kind of more like an unwanted pet.
Yeah, a hitchhiker or something, right?
Yeah.
It's an unwanted groin pet.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like a center area pet.
It's a habitat. You've become a habitat. You've got a sanctuary.
Mm.
I don't want to alarm you. Okay, and I'm not saying I have an STD.
Mm.
But I do have a crustacean groin sanctuary.
Yeah, right. And so the solution to that, I mean, wouldn't it be great like if it was like having mice and you just bought a cat? You know, for like crabs. If you just found.
So what are we talking, like a centipede or something that like crawls around?
Yeah, I think that would be great.
Oh, man.
It's just like one of those huge ones that's it's about the length of your forearm.
Oh, Christ.
But it's about, let's say like two fingers thick.
Yeah, and it crawls around and wraps itself around your cock and balls.
You wear kind of those loose pants that they wear in kind of hot Mediterranean, not Mediterranean, but equatorial countries. Mm-hmm. Like a sort of like, is India? No, India's not really equatorial. But
it feels equatorial.
Yeah, it feels equatorial. Mm. Sort of like a loose Indian pant.
It's equatorial. Yeah, a Thai fisherman pant, maybe?
Sure, a Thai fisherman
pant. Remember Thai fisherman pants?
Well, I was never...
I think I might have even worn Thai fisherman pants for a short period of time in like the 2000s.
That's crazy, Andy. I can't accept myself wearing any pant that looks like it comes from any other culture.
I don't know what I was thinking. I also wore jeans that I'd glued back together with bits of other jeans and builder's glue.
Wow.
While I was wearing them.
You built pants whilst wearing another culture's pants.
Yeah, anyway.
Building pants is also something that they would do in a lot of those countries.
Yeah.
Sewing pants together.
So you've got a predator, basically. You've introduced a predatory little element to your crotchal ecosystem. Because what's interesting about that is that these ecosystems, you never completely eradicate the prey species. You reach a homeostasis within that ecosystem where there's just enough crabs being born to sustain your crotchal centipede.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wrote down millipede. I feel like an idiot.
Oh, millipede is fine. That's great, Al. Don't
But are millipedes less scary than a centipede?
I don't know. I can't remember which one's which. I think they're both pretty terrifying. And
right. So you just kind of have like an acceptable amount of crabs.
Yeah. And one huge centipede. And
yeah, one huge centipede that are like one of those black ones that's like just spooky. You see on the wall and are like...
It's not the black ones that scare me the most. One? It's the kind of orange ones that you get in caves. Those big, long legs.
Man, look, I think it's just anything that... Because insects don't look like they have any empathy.
None whatsoever.
They're essentially the robots of the living world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So they just go around and they will attack whatever that they can.
Yeah.
That's why that part, and I think I've said this on the podcast before, that part in the King Kong movie that had Jack Black in it, that was made by Peter Jackson, when they encounter those gigantic insects, that is the scariest thing to me. Because
big, like,
they,
leech kind of things?
Is that when
they go into that cave? There's like giant leeches?
Or maybe a ravine?
Could be a ravine, yeah.
Could be a canyon?
I mean, I'm going to allow it.
Yeah. And at some point they're getting attacked by them, and you go, I think at least a panther could at some point just feel bad for you and stop.
There's a chance.
Like, or at least experience fear. I don't think an insect will experience
there's
fear.
There's no self-preservation.
Especially in a predator insect.
And especially, I think, in one that's got that sort of social thing, like a hive or whatever, because they're not even in it for themselves. They're just like, well, I don't even care if I die. We've all got identical genetic material. You know, let's
My
just...
My God. Imagine that, having your DNA dictate that you don't even care about yourself because your species thrives better when you don't care about
yourself. I feel
like
that's what's going to happen with my identical twin sons. You know, they're basically like worker ants and they'll just keep coming at you. That's why, you know, there's such hard work in the mornings.
Yeah. And at
1 they don't care what happens to them.
That's why at 1 year's old, you've already got them sort of fighting MMA and things like that. Cause you realize you're making the absolute,
unstoppable.
They're going to be as good a fighter as any Ukrainian, you know, or kind of somebody growing up in that area.
Yeah.
Which is a place that grows some really good fighters. So the motto for this, it's a company that sells these. Their motto obviously is, ain't good having crabs. And I guess like, and coded within that message is that the homeostasis point is actually one female crab that was impregnated a long time ago and I assume can just keep giving birth to loads of crabs.
Sure. Yeah.
So the centipede leaves that one alive, like a queen crab of some sort.
Yep, to keep the next generation of... Now, you know...
That eats the young.
John Dooley might tell us, well, that's... Sure, you got the motto part in there, but what about the otto? Crabs, eight legs.
Yeah, that's
Italian,
right.
Italian, eight.
And the centipede is called otto.
Centipede...
Peered. There you go.
Yeah.
We did it.
Have we talked about this on the podcast before? It feels like a familiar idea to me. But if we eradicated crabs to the point where there were no more genital crabs except on like one person, would we stop them from killing them because that's an endangered species and maybe set up a small like little fence around their crotch and people would be able to come past and look at the crabs.
I mean, this is, you know, this would be a great character for our live Big Brother show. Because
I mean, I think it'd be a great character for any of these sketches we've come up with tonight.
I mean, the last person to have crabs who's sort of been heritage listed, so that...
What about a Jurassic Park, right? But we haven't brought back the dinosaurs. We've brought back crabs. We introduced them into somebody's crotch.
Yeah.
Right?
We've brought back old sexually transmitted diseases.
Yes. And there's a little fence around there, and we're like, there's no way they can get out.
Yeah. And right? there's no way they can fuck anybody.
And then...
Yeah.
No, the fence is just around the crotch.
All right.
And then one day we come down, the crabs are gone. Oh, no, they're out. Everyone on the island has suddenly...
Got crabs. They're having sex out of fear. But yeah, okay, look, that's wonderful. It'll be
called Pubic Park.
Or Crustaceous Park? Jurassic, Crustacic, Crustacic?
Jurassic Park? Your ass itch park. I don't know if you're asking. Also, itch.
Well, I imagine there's hair there's back few, there. That's where they would live.
There's hair back there.
Do they go up inside the hole?
And a chair as well if you're sitting down.
Jurassic Park, but for crabs. Pubic crabs.
Yep.
And then it's just people, you just catch a car and then a different... you catch a car along a track and at just various points, there's just a guy laying down. With just a dome over his, like a... So it just looks kind of like an aquarium over his junk, and then he's just got his hands behind his head, and then you go, oh, there, look, I can see them moving, like that.
I mean, this is horrible.
It's a sketch.
It's more terrifying than the Jurassic Park movie, which terrified me as a child. I had to hide behind the couch and then leave the room because I was scared of the dinosaurs.
But imagine the parts where... people get chased down by crabs and they eat your lawyer's pubic hair. Oh, his pubic hair has been eaten in half while he
flying a helicopter, right? Yeah. But then they start to get itchy and they're scratching and they're flying off course. Yeah.
The sketches for today, subatomic solitary confinement. We don't know exactly where that's being used.
We wrote that down? That's amazing.
I mean, I just put it down because it's an idea. It's not a sketch in itself, I don't think. But it
sounds more like something for one of our Patreon-only episodes where we come up with five ideas for any category.
Well, I know, but this one would go in a category of punishment for people who are, you know, criminals.
I think five ideas for punishments. We'll come up with that.
Yeah.
On the show.
Oh, and what was that Patreon thing that you mentioned?
Patreon, we're also going to do a new bonus one-off, possibly a one-off, could be a whole series for Patreon. It's going to be Harry Shavers, the podcast. We talk exclusively about Harry Shavers, and we do two plugs for Two in the Think Tank during the show. So if you want to sign up, I'm going to put that
at a bonus one at some point this year.
That's going to be like $40. That's going to be a $40 level.
If you want to hear that one.
And that is going to come out. Every month. There's going to be one episode a month.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great. That's really cool.
And it's at least an hour. I guarantee it'll be at least an hour.
An hour. And then we'll sort of trudge through two ads about Two in the Think Tank.
Yeah, sure.
But the other thing I was actually talking about was just that there's a new Patreon level.
Oh, there is.
At $8 a tier. Where you can pay $8 and get some of the bonus episodes.
Yeah.
Which one is for the come up with any idea.
Yeah.
That you can also suggest ideas for what five ideas on what topic we come up with.
Yeah, you can pitch us a topic, a category.
We've already had a lot of categories already pitched at us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Video games.
I'm excited.
Business ideas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Children's book ideas. So we'll be getting through all of that.
All of it.
And we've also got another podcast that comes out every 2 weeks or bi-monthly, which is sitcom, Two in the Sitcom Tank.
So anyway, two extra episodes will come out per month.
Yeah.
For that tier. Thank you very much.
And then, of course, the monthly Harry Shavers podcast.
Obviously, there'll be the monthly Harry Shavers podcast. Then we have the Eat Wood Conspiracy, which is, you know, that it's an expose on how behind the scenes people have been working for big wood, huge lumber, as it's also known, to get people to start eating wood, to get
Titanic timber.
You know, obviously the sketch will go into more detail than what I just did in the summary there. Mm-hmm. Then we have the cannibal inventor teleports accidentally with a twig.
Man, these first three ideas so far, and I'm not feeling any vibes.
No. This one, this is one of the greatest.
I haven't got a single vibe off any of these.
Andy, this one is like a book series. It's gonna be. It's the next RRR book writer.
George R. R. Martin.
Yeah, it'll be his next big book series.
Yeah,
1,000 pages per book about this guy.
Oh, this his next big book series.
Yeah. Then we have violent criminals are covered in the vulnerable to rehabilitate them instead of prisons, and they're also given access to all nuclear codes.
Mm.
So this will, you know, as a way, instead of sort of putting them in prisons,
further isolating them,
further
from
isolating
society.
We actually immerse them in responsibility and importance and weight.
Mm-hmm. All of that.
Then there's a next sketch is a trend of teenagers to put sand in their mouth. That's just a new way they rebel.
Yep.
Parents
don't want you to do it.
They don't want you to do
it. They're squares. They don't want you to have fun.
Yep.
Hey, they probably all did it when they were your age. But
that's
they
right.
just now act like they didn't.
They definitely did when they were babies.
Why do you think old people have got such bad teeth?
Yeah. It's because it's...
They've been hitting that grit.
Hit the grit. And then we got the bribing everyone, socialized bribery. It's just a, you know, it's like a politician who's good, but he's not that good.
Yeah.
You know, he's good in that he's for the people, but he still takes bribes, but
he
splits up the bribes.
He says, like, I'd be crazy not to.
You got to accept, that this is just how the system works these days. You know, he's a straight talker.
Yeah.
He tells it like it is.
Yes.
But.
Calls it like he sees it.
Calls it like he sees it.
Says what he's thinking.
That's right. He sees words in his head. He doesn't filter them before letting them
out
of his mouth.
Yeah.
Then we got the millipede that's used to get rid of crabs.
Mm.
It's a good system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you name it. You can call it...
A sexual predator? Doesn't sound good.
No. Well, sexual transmitted disease predator.
Yeah. STDP.
Sexual TD predator.
Great. S transmitted D predator.
And then we also have Jurassic Park, but for pubic crabs.
Yep. Jurassic junk.
Junk Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
Yeah. Junk crabic. Junk crabic park?
Yes.
Yes.
Now we're talking.
There we go. Thank you for saying yes, Andy.
Yeah, that's why I'm here. With my mouth.
Thank you for listening to the podcast.
Two in the Think Tank is the name of the podcast. And thank you to everyone who's signed up for the new Patreon tier.
Thank you very much.
We hope it's
going to
be hugely worth your while. I mean, we're sure it's going to be worth your while.
We're sure.
It's worth everybody else's while. Thank you very much to Peter Thomas for designing our new logo for our podcast, which hopefully has been propagated out to your devices by this stage.
Yeah.
A good friend of the show. He's been on the show a number of times, and we're going to have him on again real soon.
Real soon.
To come with more sketch ideas. After he sketched that idea
for the logo
of the podcast.
Two in the Think Tank. You can find us on iTunes.
That's going to be, by the way, that logo is going to be coming out as a t-shirt.
Holy moly.
You're going to be able to buy that as a t-shirt.
Well,
so don't worry about that.
Probably on Redbubble.
Redbubble.
Unless we can find an even easier way of doing it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We were going to say, like, just do it yourself.
Yeah.
Just draw it. Get a pen and
just
draw
it
on one
it
of your own t-shirts.
Trace it on a way. That seemed like the easiest way. And then just send
like,
us like
has the
four
least,
bucks.
Yeah, come on. Like, even if you want to do it and pirate it and start printing them yourself somehow in like some third world country and then selling them on the black market, we don't mind. Just send us like 20 cents or something for it.
Like $1.20.
Sure, great.
Just so it adds up, you know?
Yeah, it adds up. That'll add up.
You know, and we're on Twitter, Two in Tank.
I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
And you can review us on iTunes. And you can.
Some people have been reviewing us on iTunes recently.
And
they've been beautiful, lovely things for them to say.
Eloquent. I mean,
well written.
I cannot believe the eloquence of our listeners.
Yes.
It's almost like they're not listeners, but they're writers.
They should be.
They
if they're not, they should be.
Look, we've...
Because they already are.
Yeah, absolutely. It's this, the writerliness of you guys, it has been inside you the whole time.
I don't know if there are any publishers out there, but have a look at our reviews on iTunes and just sign these people up now.
Yeah, that's a great way. That's a great way of being discovered.
Even the people who don't really write anything and just leave 5 stars, they do it in such a way that makes me think you've got a novel in you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or at least a supersonic jet.
Yeah. And if you want to support the podcast without giving any money or anything like that, which is also acceptable, try forcing some people that you know to listen and download our podcast.
The thing I have found with podcasts is that if you just listen to enough of them,
you just start to like
it. Start to like it. You start to get to know the people. Some kind of Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah.
Your brain is like, well, I'm hearing these people all the time. They must be my friends or like me.
Play it to huge groups of children and teenagers.
Anyone who's basically confined for long enough for you to get 3 or 4 episodes into their ears.
Yeah.
And then they'll be hooked.
If you work at a stadium...
Yes.
Where there's sort of sports matches and things like that, usually 1, 2, 3, 40,000 people that sit there whilst waiting for matches and in between
innings
and
things like that. There's lulls. We all know there's lulls.
Just play the podcast.
Yes.
You know, flash up on the screen what it's called and things like that.
The logo.
And then people will slowly, over the months of supporting your sports team and...
Yeah. The few who are still remain supporting your sports team at the end of this period of time... Yeah. They might also, a couple of them have listened to
If you run a sweatshop or some kind of oppressive regime, use the speaker systems to play the podcast over
Kim
that.
Kim
Jong-un. Oh, and I'm looking at you.
Yeah.
Or anybody
what else
who's
are you going to do?
Yeah, if anyone's got Kim Jong-un's ear, put a headphone in that ear.
Dennis Rodman, I'm looking at you.
That's right. Put a headphone in that ear and play two in the think tank. All right.
And
we
why just oppress when you can oppress play on the Two in the Think Tank podcast? That's our new slogan.
That's our new slogan.
Specifically for dictators.
Yeah.
And we love you.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.